Amen. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. It's been a difficult week. I've been not well, but I'm here. We thank God for that. Amen. 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 We're coming to conclude the book of Job, chapter. We're finishing Job series, and so we are looking at chapter 38 and 42. And for 37 chapters, one man has been asking many questions. He has been asking one question, and he's been, why? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why is all of this happening to me? Which is a question that we ask ourselves, don't we? We ask ourselves, Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? We ask. He asked it in the ashes. He asked it with his head shaved and his robe torn. He also asked it through 7 days of silence and 26 verses. He was asking in the grief, when he was going through grief. He was asking question after question, why, Lord, why am I going through this? He asked it past three friends who answered everything else except the question that he was actually asking. They came to stand with him. The only good thing that they did was to stand with him in silence. But after, as soon as they opened their mouth, everything went pear-shaped. He asked it into a heaven that for 37 chapters appeared very much quiet, silent about his sufferings. Little did he know what was going on in the book of Job itself. Last few weeks we stood here with him in that silence, and he said, "Oh, that I would know, or that I knew where I might find him. Where is God? What is happening, God? Where are you, God? What is going on in my life?" It's been his plight. He wanted to know. One man begged for an audience with God. He wanted God to hear him. He wanted God to notice him and intervene. This is one of the questions that we sometimes go through. We're asking God, where are you? Why am I going through what I'm going through? We ask God, where are you? Do you even notice me? Do you even see me? Do you see what I'm going through? And was Job's question to God. He was seeking that audience with God. And today the weather changes, because in Job chapter 38, verse 1, something happens that has not happened in the entire book. A storm builds on the horizon. A storm started to form. The dark clouds, we start to see this. The sky goes dark. The wind rises, and the wind, and out of that whirlwind, after 37 chapters, God speaks for four chapters. That's the, in the whole entire of the Bible, that's the only time God speaks that long. Four chapters, God speaks. Now, before we read that verse, I want you to notice that he's speaking here four chapters. It is the longest recorded speech of God anywhere in the Bible. Four chapters, and in four chapters, he does not answer the question. He does not pass through it. He does not partially answer it. He doesn't answer the question, but he poses. He does something better that we are about to see here. And what he does is, in those four chapters, is what the entire series has been walking towards. That's the epicenter of this entire series, is that God steps in. He offers himself to the very to Job, to the very person that was looking for answers. But he answers with himself. He answers by being there himself, better than an answer. He comes in and he involves himself in the life of Job. So, 7 weeks in the fire, and today the fire missed the answer. I want you to stand with me to Job chapter 38. And from chapter 3 to chapter 37, this entire book has been wall-to-wall voices of people. You know, when you're going through a difficult time, people always have something to say about it. They always come with their voices, and they always come with their trying to reason and trying to understand God. But we see from chapter 3 to chapter 37, Alpha Job speaks. Bildad speaks, Zophar speaks, Job round after round is speaking, people are speaking, they're having their voice. And then a young man named Elihu stands up and gives 6 chapters of his own. He speaks, and 35 chapters of human beings talking about God, trying to understand this God. And then every human voice runs out. Every human voice will run out. Every human voice will run out. Only the word of God that abides forever. Amen. And verse 1 of verse 38, of chapter 38 says, it says this, verse 31, I apologize, I didn't do it in Spanish and in Farsi. I will try next week. I will have it in different languages, my notes in different languages, so you can understand, follow me. Verse 31 of chapter 38, it says, then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, and not after the whirlwind. Everybody say, from the whirlwind. Yeah, you got to talk to me a little bit. I'm trying hard today. Not the storm has passed. Not and the sky was blue and the conditions were right. Right in the middle of the whirlwind, God speaks. He speaks to his people. And he speaks from there. And out of it, God made the storm his pulpit. He was able to speak from there, from among the whirlwind itself. The very thing that looked like chaos, the very thing that looked like it doesn't make sense. And God speaks out of the whirlwind. He looks to him and he speaks. That is where the voice came from. Some of you have been waiting for God to speak when the conditions are right. When I'm after the situation that I'm going through, God is going to speak. God can speak right in the middle of the very thing that you are going through. Right in the middle of the thing that is chaotic to you, God speaks his voice. He sends a word to him right where you are. Ask God and say, God, speak to me. Speak to my situation. Just send your word in the midst of it, and he will be able to speak right in there. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and notice what Job asked for. And what he got. Job asked for a courtroom. He had his argument drafted, and he had his case really put there. He's filed his case and present his evidence and hear the explanation read out. He's waiting for that moment, but God did not send an explanation. He was asking God, would you explain to me why are my children gone? Why did I go through what I had to go through? All of these, and look at people. Why am I walking like this, God, when everyone else? Look at me, God, and why is it this? And why is it this? And why did this situation happen to me? He's waiting an explanation. And God came. He did not say any explanation to Job. What he did is he came himself. Here's my point number one. God answers with questions, not with explanation. Look at what he comes out of the whirlwinds. He says in verse 2, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And he does not stop there. In four chapters, God takes Job on a tour of creation. He's saying to him, the sea is and its boundaries. Do you know? Do you understand who created that? The dawn and its assignment, the storehouse of the straw, the lion, the raven. That he's talking about the mountain god and the wild donkey, the hawks and all of that, the ostrich, the ox. He's question after question he's asking him. Do you understand who you are dealing with? God wants to know from Job. Do you understand? And scholars have counted those questions that God asked in four chapters, 60 of them. He came to 60, and the number of explanation was zero. God did not explain him. He was asking him, do you know who you are dealing with? Do you understand the sky? Do you understand the hawks? Do you understand the boundaries of the sea? Do you understand who created the universe? Do you understand who you are dealing with here? And the answer that Job really wanted to hear that day was zero. He didn't explain himself, God. Now, catch this, because this is one of the most staggering facts in the whole book of the Bible. In four chapters of divine speech, God never mentions the courtroom in chapter 1. God never talks about what happened in chapter 1. That Satan came to God. And God didn't explain any of that. He comes to God and he's talking to him. And in four chapters, God never mentioned the courtroom. He never mentioned the accuser. He never mentioned the verger. He never mentioned the hedge. the challenge that was thrown to him, that these people, they don't worship you for who you are. They worship you for what they can get out of you. He never mentioned or talks about that at all. Job asked, why? And God never told him. Why, God? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why? What is going on, God? I love you and I worship you. And why am I going through all of this suffering? And God never explained himself. With me, Job lived the rest of his life, 140 more years, and died and never once again reading his own chapter 1. He never understood. He never read chapter 1. You know more about Job chapter 1 than he did. You know more about what Job went through and what was happening on in heaven than Job actually did. He never understood what was going on. You have seen the courtroom. He never saw. He trusted God without it. So why the questions? Was God putting Job in place in his place, humiliating him and trying to work out what's going on with Job? What was going on here? No, you read the tone here. God says, prepare yourself like a man. Gird yourself. Be a man. Stand up and be counted and be one of those people and be a man. We are going to speak face to face, God said to Job. And it's a summon. It's not a sneer. It's really a summon that God, this is not a put down. But God is saying, I'm summoning you to understand, to bring you into that position where you understand who you are dealing with. Amen. You better talk to me a bit to make it easier for me. It's a read the introduction here. God is introducing himself. The one who holds it all together, the one who created the land, the sea, is the one you're dealing with. I don't explain myself. I don't explain what goes on. I come myself. I come in person. Amen. And so what we need in our situation is that we need to be able to, in whatever situation we may be going through, what we need most is the presence of God for him to show up. Right now, just say, God, reveal yourself, God. Reveal yourself. Not the answer, not the explanation, not the question, but Lord, I want you to come, become and be God in my life, in my situation that I'm going through. Amen. Amen. So let's go on a bit more. Every question does the same work. It resizes the universe. Every question that you have, it resizes the universe. It shows Job the scale of the one who runs it. And God is saying, do you know who created the universe? Do you know who holds the storehouse of snow? Do you know where the boundaries of the sea? Have you seen them? He's just asking him question after question after question after question. And he's resizing the universe. And he's, were you there when the morning star starts? When all of that, when the first morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Question after question. And underneath all the 60 questions is one message. You do not need to understand the reason. They understand what I'm doing. You need to know me. You don't need to understand what I am doing. If you catch anything today, you do not need to understand what you're going through. You do not need to understand what you're going through. You need to see who I am. That's the kind of message that you want, isn't it? But this is what's going on in the book of Job. You don't need to understand your suffering. You don't need to understand what you're going through. All you need to see is to see me, to see who I am, to see the God that I am. You don't know where the sea starts. You don't know who put the stars into space. You don't know who holds the storehouse of snow, the hawks. And you don't know all of that, the ostrich. But the God who is the great I am, you need to know me. That's the message that God has sent me. If you miss anything, hear this. God did not show Job the reason. He showed Job himself. He revealed himself. He showed who he was, the kind of God that he was. And he was able to know him for who he was. Amen. But you know chapter 1. Job doesn't know chapter 1. You and I know what's going on in heaven. Job doesn't know what's going on in heaven. I wonder what would happen to us if the picture is sort of put on us and we have to, we are going through what we're going through, what's going on in heaven. I wonder what is happening over your life in heaven, what heaven is saying about you. Whether they will see you saying, like God said from chapter 1, you're saying Job is a faithful man. You don't like that. You don't like God. Job is a good man. I know you don't like that. But God said it. He said Job is a good man. Job is a man after my own heart. Job is a good man. God testified that. Chapter 1, and the book is ending, God, Job is my faithful servant. He's my man. You may not like it tough, but God is speaking. He's saying it. And he's saying, he's my good man. He's my man. And he's saying it. Why? Because he did something without even knowing what is going on in heaven. He didn't even know the testimony of God over his life that he's a faithful servant. He didn't know that. I wonder what would happen with my life, with your life, when the camera is on us. Whether that same testimony will be put on us, whether Gavin will say, this person is a good man. This person is my faithful servant. This man is my man. He's always there for me. He's a good man. He seeks to do what is right. He shuns all evil. I wonder whether we'll be seen as people who worship when we go through difficult time, or we'll be the people who will be the first one to run, or we'll be the people who seek to understand. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Do you know who created the universe? Were you there when the universe was created? And so we don't understand some of the things. But here's the truth about explanation. An explanation would have satisfied Job's mind for a season. If he was given an explanation, he would have understood the explanation for a season. And then sooner or later, he would have forgotten. And then something else, and then something else, and then something else. You're always asking for something, for an explanation, for something, after something, after something, after something, after something. But here, what's happening here, God says, I'm coming myself. I'm revealing myself. In the midst of our suffering, we need more of God, of knowing who God is, than actually the explanation of who, why am I going through what I'm going through. Thank you for that one, Amy. I'll take it. So the grief would have returned, and only a person can hold a life, and that is exactly what God gave him. Here's my point number two. Now watch out what happens here to Job. If what he really needed was the explanation, then 42 should open with him still protesting. He should be protesting. He should be saying, God, I asked a question. I asked the question, Lord. I want an answer. I want really to know what is going on here. He does not. Look what happens. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I have uttered what I did not understand. I can preach there all day long. I have uttered that I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Verse 5, I have heard of you. I can preach there. I have heard of you through sermons, through doctrine, through people singing, through people talking. I've heard about you. I've been in church. I have heard that you are God. I've heard other people testify of your goodness. But here's what he says. Look at verse 5. He said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Ah, I pray that all of us will come to that place where we see for ourselves, where we can say, Lord, I see you in the midst of the chaos that I'm going through. Lord, I see you in what I'm going through. And he says, therefore, I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. Everybody say, now my eye sees you. Yeah, we pray that God will open our eyes in the midst of what we are going through. God to open our eyes and see him. Because sometimes we want an explanation. Sometimes we want to understand what's going on. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why this suffering? Why am I going through all of this? But here he says that now my eyes have seen. Job drops the case. He withdraws every charge. He's satisfied. The demand for an answer dissolved in the presence of the answerer. He says, God, I don't need an explanation. I don't need you to explain myself or to explain yourself. Everything the explanation was standing in for, the need to know, he muttered. He wanted to know all of that, all these chapters, all of that has been put away by his presence. He said, now my eye sees you. I pray that I may see God. I pray that you may see God in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of your questions. You'll be able to say, now my eyes sees you. I want to see God. I want to see God, the revelation of God's eyes. I want to be able to see God, that he is there. Because if you can't see him and you don't understand, all of a sudden you get to the place where apostasy kicks in. But when you want to see him, now I see him. When you see God for who he is, no matter what you're going through, everything else makes sense. Even though it doesn't make sense. Everything else makes sense, even though it doesn't make sense. Do I make sense? So it says, now my eye sees everything, the explanation I have heard about you. People talk about you. My ancestors talk about you. Second-hand reports, but now my eye sees you. And look at verse 6, because I will not skip it, because Job repents in the dust, in the ashes. Repents of what? I was asking that question. Say, Job repents. He's repenting of what? What have he done wrong? You may ask, not of secret sin. In the very next verse, God vindicates him. He repents of speaking beyond his knowledge. Can I just pause there? We spend time, we talk beyond our knowledge. We talk, we try to reason things. Beyond our own knowledge, we try to make sense of things that do not make sense. We try to understand what's going on or to explain ourselves. We try to theologize our the situations that we are going through and try to make sense as if we can work God out. We can never work him out. As soon as we work him out, he ceases to be God. And he's saying, I'm repenting of speaking beyond my knowledge. I repent of speaking beyond my knowledge. And some of us here need to repent of speaking beyond our knowledge, because we try to explain things to other people. We try to make sense of other people. We try to come and reason. And the reason why you're going through what you're going through, you don't know why that person is going through what they're going through. And so Job here in this situation, he repents of speaking beyond his knowledge. I have uttered, verse 6 of chapter 42, I have uttered what I did not understand. I have spoken things I don't understand that are beyond me. I should have kept quiet. Some of us need to zip our mouth and keep quiet and allow, we don't understand. God, I don't understand. He can take it. I don't understand what is happening. We are better that way. And he repented here. And I want you to look at his posture. The man who fell on the ground in chapter 1, he falls again in chapter 42, but hear the difference. In chapter 1, he fell before a God he had. And now in chapter 42, he's falling before a God he has seen. A God, he says, now my eyes sees you. He's now coming and falling before God. The fire did not change the falling, it changed the seeing. So whatever he was going through, the fire itself did not change the falling, it changed the thing. It refined him to a place where he could actually have an encounter with God. He sees, his eyes were opened because of the fire that he was going through. Amen. Amen. And this is the summit of this entire series. Say with me, God's answer to suffering, repeat after me. God's answer to suffering, I think it's on the screen. It's not an explanation. It's an encounter. An encounter is better than the explanation ever could have been. That's right. God's answer to your suffering is not an explanation. It's an encounter. What you are going through is an encounter. There's a lady called Elizabeth Elliot. In 1956, his husband Jim and four other missionaries, they went to spread the word in Ecuador. And they were ambushed by the local people, the I don't know how to say, Waroni people, something like that. They had come to reach out to, they killed them, these missionaries. They killed them. And his widow, Elizabeth, did something the world could not understand. She took a daughter, and she went and lived among those people. They didn't. Among the very tribe that killed her husband. Years later, she wrote that God never explained it to her. You know, God never explained it to her, not once. When what he gave her was his presence. Every day, he gave himself to her. And she said that the deepest lesson of her life, that the explanation can never come, and the presence never left. When she was living amongst those people, she never understood. God didn't give her the explanation. But one thing she had, God's presence was with her. What you need, what you and I need in our suffering is not an explanation. We are looking for the wrong thing. We need to look for his presence to be with us. May your eyes see him for who he is. Here's point number three. Now the ending, and I want you to see the order of the ending, because the order is the teaching here. First of, before any restoration, God turns to three friends. So before any restoration, God turns to the three friends, the men who kept their composure and got him wrong. They tried to explain God. The men, remember those friends that says, I think what you're going through is because your sons did sin. Oh, because you're going through this because of ABC. Or whatever reason that he was giving, you're trying to understand that. And four times in two verses, God calls Job something, my servant Job. Read chapter 42, you'll see, my servant Job. Somebody say, my servant Job. Yeah, after the ashes, after chapter three, after every roar, and I'm done, I'm finished, God. Look at me, God, what's going on in me? God still names him my servant Job. He was real with God, remember? He was able to say, I'm done. Look at me and look at what's going on with me. And God still calls him my servant Job. Then in verse 10 says, and the Lord restored Job's losses. When he prayed for his friends, I struggled there. He's now praying for his three friends. He's asking God to have mercy on the three friends, and watch what happened. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And I want you to look at the sequence here, because the sequence is very important. Encounter first, intercession second, and then restoration third. The turning point for Job's circumstance was not when Job got answers. It was when Job, fresh from seeing God, he prays for his friends. He prays for the people that were trying to explain. We're looking down on him. Your children died because of your sin. Come on, get on with it. What's going on? What's the matter with you? Surely something happened. Surely this is what went on here. Surely your family went through, they got what they deserved because they were doing something wrong. And so he prayed for them. He prayed for the very man who had wounded him in the fire. When he prayed for his friend, I want you to notice this, and I will not pretend that this is a small thing. Those men's words did cut Job. He felt every word that they spoke to him. He struggled with it. Every word he struggled while he was in the ash, the prayer cost him something. It wasn't just an easy prayer of saying, I'm going to pray for my friends. Let me pray for my friends. Oh, God bless them. No, he felt the prayer. He's going to pray for people who say that something is wrong with you. Something, your children got what they deserved. And so he's praying for them, and he prays. And prayer like that, always do that. And before a man have seen God, it's difficult for you to pray for your friends. Some of you have got people that you're holding on to. You say, they did this to me. They did this to me. Maybe the answer. Maybe you're holding the breakthrough yourself in your own heart. Maybe the gateway to the breakthrough is for you to release those people. Maybe God wants you to let go of those people, to pray for them. But that praying for the people can only happen if you have seen God. If you have not seen God, it's difficult for you to forgive somebody. You hold on to, they did this to me, they did this to me, they did this to me. Look what they've done. Look what's going on. Look what this person did. I can never forgive them. Maybe. You're waiting for, some of us are waiting for a restoration while holding the people who hurt us. We are holding them at arm's length. I'm asking you to manufacture, that prayer in your own strength. You can only pray a prayer of release, pray for your enemies when you've encountered God. It's not something that you can just say, oh, pastor said, so I'll just go do it. You have to, the order is the mercy. The order is the mercy, see him first. The prayer comes out of the seeing. When you see him first, you are able to release him. And your prayer today, or what you need to be asking today, is to say, God, open my eyes. Let me see you. Open my eyes. If there's somebody who's at you, open my eyes. Let me see you. Open my eyes. Let me see you. And so when he prayed that, God restored twice as much. He lost everything. God restored twice as much as he had before. Everybody say twice as much. The flock doubled, a new generation comes of sons and daughters, and a hundredfold, 40 men or 40 more years, and the latter days of Job's life were blessed than before. But let me be honest with you, because this book is honest again about what he's going through here. 10 new children does not replace 10 new graves that are just in the backyard. He still feels, he still experiences, he still, restoration does not, is not replacement. A restoration is not replacement. What restoration declares is this: the fire was never the final answer. What you are going through is never the final answer of what God wants to do in your life. What you are going through. I'm talking to you. God writes past that. Every time. He writes past our pain. He writes past what has happened in our own life. What should be our priority is to say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open my eyes. Let me see you. What you're going through, if you're going through something. If you're not, life is a way of doing things. If you're not and you say, I'm in a good place, you're about to go in one. It's not a prophecy. I'm just speaking out the way life goes. It's either you're coming from the fire, you are in the fire, or you're coming out of the fire. You're about to. Just keep on living. You will find yourself, someone will die, something will happen, That's the way life happens. Life does that to all of us. And so we have to be willing and waiting to see all those things. Now, church, the court, the one who walked into, we walked into 7 weeks ago, have carried ever since. The accuser stood before God and said, well, these people, remove the hedge, remove the worship, and the worship dies. Remove the protection. Nobody loves you for you. Heaven watched that case for 42 chapters. They're waiting. Heaven is waiting and saying, okay, how is he? Is he going to break? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Job? What's going to happen with Job? And they're waiting for 42 chapters. And what happens is that heaven watched, and the end of that book, there stands a man, scarred. He's honest, he's destroyed, he's restored, still bowing, still worshiping, still, worshiping a God who he can never explain himself. He's still giving himself to God. And the case did not just collapse in chapter 1. In chapter 42, the case closed. Completely. The case is closed. Job loves God for who he is. Job follows God for what he is, not for what he can get out of God. Job does not come to church if he comes to church. He does not come to church for what he can get. He doesn't come to church because it's a religious thing. But Job follows me for who I am. Take away everything. Take away everything, the dangerous prayer. Take away everything, my health. Take away everything, my property, whatever it is that you have. Take away everything. Would you still worship God? Take away his children. Surely he will worship other things. What you need is an answer. But him. What if really what you need is not an answer, but God himself? What if what you've been looking all these years and trying to make sense of the situation that you're going through, of the ups and downs, is not an explanation, but himself? What if? Job would tell you he's better than an answer. He always was. Here's my one question as I'm finished. What explanation are you still waiting for before you let God be enough for you? What are you waiting for? Is God enough for you? Is God the one you say, God, you can take anything and remain the God that he is when it's raining as well as it's not raining? Years of waiting over this book. After the ashes, after the grief, after all the friends and the row undone, where God still remains God. You called him my servant. I want you to go home with that. If you are still in the fire, still waiting and for the explanation before you will completely surrender yourself to God, maybe you do, before you trust again, you're asking God, God, I will trust you. If you explain yourself, what is going on? You remember me? I want to just tap me on my shoulder to say, hey, we're good. If you're looking for that, he's saying, I don't need to tap you on the shoulder. I don't need, all you need to know is me. All you need is to see me in the midst of all of that. If you are one of the people there, come and meet God who speaks out of storms, not after the storm is over. And again, secondly, if you are in the fire, if your fire ended years ago, but the why never came, it never came. You know, we never explained God, never explained himself. And you still feel the pain, still aches. I want you to come and let the encounter close what the explanation cannot close. So come again and be... and let him reveal himself to you.